The fragile link between plant life and whole cultures, what it is that makes us reproduce, and two eminent scientists named Nancy were the focus of an awards dinner last night in Victoria. Every year, the BC chapter of the Confederation of University Faculty Associations honors a pair of its own for academic excellence and a career's work. Last night, I had the great privilege of hosting this year's awards, and coincidentally, they both went to Islanders. The academic of the year is Dr. Nancy Turner from the Environmental Studies Faculty at University of Victoria. Dr. Turner is being recognized for her work in ethnobotany. Her publications on traditional plant use have laid the groundwork for our present understanding of the complexity and sophistication of Aboriginal plant use in Western North America. Now, for careers achievements, Dr. Nancy Sherwood of the Biology Department at UVic was honored for her long service to the university and scientific community as a researcher, a reviewer, an advisor, a mentor, an outstanding researcher in the field of hormone functions. Dr. Sherwood's research has also resulted in patents relating to the growth and reproduction in poultry and fish. The doctors are in this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Sherwood, what does a scientist who looks at something so small think of an award that honors something so big as a career's work?
Well, actually, I think it's a wonderful idea to occasionally stop and look at what people have done over a lifetime. And so this kind of award where your colleagues are awarding you a particular honor is really very much appreciated by faculty members, I think.
How often do you actually get a chance to do the full groundhog, stick your head up and look around?
Actually, not very often, because in science we're only allowed to list what we've done in the last 6 years if we want to look for a grant money and so forth. So this was an unusual occasion for me to look back and see what my story is over a long period of time.
Were there any surprises?
In the research?
No, in things that you do. Oh, I'd forgotten I did that.
Oh, yes, indeed. There, you forget that some of the early work, especially since the techniques were much simpler in the beginning and now much more sophisticated, so you realize how slowly it went at the beginning compared to now when we have the ability to look at genes and see what the complete DNA is like. It's
Dr. Turner, what to you makes an excellent academic?
What makes an excellent academic?
Yeah.
I think a passion for finding out things. And if you have that and you enjoy people, because you have to enjoy people to be a teacher, then I think that's the ideal combination. Your students pick up on your enthusiasm. Even if you might not be a perfect communicator, I think being able to see just the passion for finding out, the students pick up on that, and it spreads, and they want to do the same.
Well, Dr. Schultz, speak briefly about the relationship between the teacher and the student, because from what I've heard of you, you have there are many of your progeny out there, and in terms of students, you've had you've got a career's worth of impact on people, but they've had an impact on you too.
Yes, I think really the heart of research is the graduate student and also the undergraduate. So when they come to university, they often don't know about the specialized areas of research. And if we're picking up on Nancy's comment, enthusiasm, they become interested in, say, your research area. And once they come in the laboratory, a PhD takes about 5 years. So it's a long period of time in which you're talking to each other. These students are wonderful when they're intellectually involved, and also they work very, very hard. And the intellectual ideas go back and forth between the teacher and the student without question. And then later, as they go off and take up jobs in the academic community, or sometimes they will go to biotechnology companies, you still continue to communicate because you're all interested in the same area.
But you may not necessarily be on the same page. I mean, you've probably had some pretty good arguments with students. I mean, isn't that...
Yes, I think if you're lucky, you have good arguments mm-hmm. with students, because they, especially after they've been there for a year or two, they begin to have some very interesting ideas, and
well,
they make you rethink it.
Yes. Can't have them thinking. They're rational. Yes. That's dangerous. Dr. Turner, how do academics have an impact on life outside the university setting? I mean, you can use your own work as an example, because you're dealing with stuff that has wide-ranging ramifications.
Yes, well, my work actually started out outside the university setting, and it was only just over 10 years ago that I started teaching at the university. And before that, it was through my children's school or through the communities where I work that a lot of the work was sort of discussed and brought forward. I do a lot of field trips and short workshops with people who share my interest. And so really it's just a matter of getting out there, really, and finding people who have common interests and building small groups, whether it's at through a school or at a community level or through a natural history society, that kind of thing.
You know, I think you think of the traditional scientist as being somebody who is constantly looking for the new. And yet, a lot of what I hear you saying is you have to be comfortable in telling the story over and over again as well. Now, how do you achieve that balance?
Well, I think we all know that's a good way to learn. Actually, is to be told over and over. In each iteration, you learn a little bit more, and that's the way children learn. And I think that's the way all of us learn, in a sense. It's getting kind of ingrained as ideas in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Dr. Sherwood, you were showing slides last night of your research on hormones in the brain, and all I'm thinking is, how many brains have you seen?
Well, many.
A lot of student brains.
Yes. Fortunately, many of the brains that we collected were from species like salmon. And so usually once the salmon is caught, then the body is sold as a source of food. But the head is often not wanted. And so they're very happy to let us remove the brain. But one of the nice things...
Salmon don't have a lot of choice at that point. But
no, they don't. They don't sign a... contract,
a waiver,
yes. But and now one of the nice things is that since molecular biology has come in, instead of using many, many brains, we only have to use one or two in order to, once we see the DNA sequence, we can deduce the hormone structure from that. So that's, it's not only easier for us to use molecular biology, but it's much easier in terms of looking at the animals.
It's by the numbers.
By the numbers, yes.
The numbers are a big factor in research. Because there are so many things going on and so many possibilities for I guess somewhere down the line commercial gain, is it easier to get money these days than to do research, or is it harder?
I suspect
you're both out there looking. So.
I suspect Nancy's work probably takes a lot more in terms of resources and equipment than the kind of work that I do. A lot of it has been done on, I guess, literally a shoestring, just enough money to travel and to reimburse people or pay for their time. The kind of knowledge that people have taught me, to me, is priceless. You can't put a dollar value on it.
What's the responsibility of somebody with a body of knowledge? I mean, you used the example last night of an endangered species. You've identified you think you know why. How strong is the onus on you to fix it, or at least?
Oh, that's a really good question. I try to follow as much as I can the wishes of the people I work with and take my direction from them. If people have passed away, I remember well their concerns and what they wanted to happen. A lot of it is the elders I've worked with all see the value in the kind of knowledge that they held, and they want it to continue, and they want it to be passed on. They want their grandchildren to know it and appreciate it and understand it, continue to use it. And so my role, as I see it, is just to try and assist that idea and to help it to happen.
Well, thank you both, and congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dr. Nancy Turner was named Academic of the Year. Dr. Nancy Sherwood was given a Career Achievement Award last night by the Confederation of University Faculty Associations of BC. Both now go back to work at the University of Victoria.